This is the 2nd of June, 1954. Afternoon lecture. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the third stage of Procedure 30. Let's go over this. Find out where this third stage goes. Find out what you could do with it. How far you could go with it. And then let's talk, too, about how you would really use Procedure 30 in various ways. Granting a beingness. Of course, granting a beingness is quite senior to the other two parts of Procedure 30. Before a person can be something, he has to be willing to grant beingness to something. He must grant that it exists before he can become it. Therefore, granting a beingness is senior to beingness. Well, when you find some preclear who can't be anything very readily, you immediately can assume that this individual is trying to prevent other people from granting beingness. That is the assumption made. If you were to assume it this way, it wouldn't quite work out. This person is unable to be things, therefore this person is unwilling to grant beingness. This would be your flat statement on the thing, but isn't quite a true statement. The true statement on it would run this way. This person is unable to be things, so he is unwilling to let others grant beingness. That sounds kind of silly, but that's the way it works out in processing. You've got to bridge it over into a third dynamic before you work it very thoroughly. Thetan can always grant beingness of one kind or another. What he's granting beingness to is others not granting beingness. See, so he's got a basic consideration there. Others not granting beingness, which stands in the road of granting beingness, but he is still granting beingness, isn't he? He's granting beingness to this. Others must not grant beingness. And he's hung with that. And that gets him pretty badly snarled up. So we hit the problem there, and we're in pretty good shape. Well, now, there's an enormous list. Oh, an enormous list of things that you could run with this granting of beingness process. Who would grant beingness to? You ask the preclear. Who would grant beingness to? And now just give him a list. What list? Oh, anything you can think of. I mean, it would be folly for me to draw this list up, as we just don't have enough paper. So here you could exercise your auditor sensitivity a little bit and cut a case to ribbons. Let's take the upper echelon definitions of Scientology and put them in a form for this purpose, which would get somewhere with the preclear. And let's just take the no to mystery scale. And let's go down the line on who would grant beingness to. I mean, this is just a method of running this process. The overall third portion of Procedure 30 is granting of beingness. I've given you the simplest way to run it. That isn't the reason that's the only way to run it. It's a long way from that's the only way here when we talk about granting of beingness. As I went into with the first lecture on this subject to you here, I told you that you, when I talked about Procedure 30, rather, I told you how far this could go. I mean that your main difficulty is not going off into the whole universe. You'll have to keep it pretty well centered, but there could be an enormous list. And the funny part of it is you could use almost any part of this list on most preclears, and you'd have him swear that he's been done quite a bit of good. You know, he'd feel fine about this. If you got him up to a knowingness in this particular consideration. Now, who would grant beingness to knowledge? Hmm? Who do you know? Whom do you know? Hmm? Shall we say? Who'd grant beingness to knowledge? This is over his head. He can't quite understand this. So you say, well, whom would grant beingness to study in school, huh? Yeah, well, there.
sure would, and so forth. Where would he do this, you'd say? Oh, where? Well, everywhere, that's where. I mean, a father'd grant beingness to school and study and the mother, too. Boy, the mother would, too. She'd get you out of bed and she'd send you to school, you come home, she'd send you to school, you come home, you send you to school, you come. And teachers, they grant beingness to study and school and so forth. And of course, you understand I'm not upset about this in any way. That's the way the civilization's got to run.
You could fully expect some sort of reaction like this on somebody who's having a little bit of trouble. What have you done? You've just changed your knowingness as that part of the scale into a communicable form to fit his acceptance level of difficulty. See, you just translated the know-to-sex scale into what you would normally consider difficulty in society. You wouldn't get this same reaction from a barbarian somewhere. Now, note that you would get a reaction on the know-to-sex scale if you were processing a barbarian, a glue to the other early Thimble Isles or something of the sort. You'd get your pattern reactions because he wouldn't be here. See, if he didn't get here by this chain of considerations. And so know-to-sex scale would work on a glue to the early Thimble Islands very easily. But when you said knowledge to him, you say, now, who would grant beingness or who would give life to taboos? That'd be his level of knowledge. Or who would give life to knowing how to cook, knowing how to kill things, and so forth. Next thing you know, he'd say, the chief of his youth tribe, you know, something like that. He beats you around all the time. You'll have to get that kind of reaction off of him. It would just be up to you to translate and get this very, very well here, and we just won't have to write this long list. That you just translate the know-to-sex scale into a communication form for your preclear. See, and you could translate it in a number of ways. You could translate it in lots of ways. In fact, if you didn't watch it, you would translate it right straight out into the Encyclopedia Scientologicana. And that would be 180 billion volumes squared or octavoed. Now, therefore, you've got an enormous battery of questions that you could sit right there in Procedure 30 and just battery away at your preclear. Notice X scale. Now, you'd figure out, well, this guy's a human being. He's alive. He's on Earth today. He looks fairly well educated. Therefore, we could say he has had trouble in the field of just knowledge just as such. What he would himself classify as knowledge, he's had trouble with, being taught to talk. He may have had some trouble with that. Being taught to do, toilet training. He's been, school, teachers, university, learning his job. And he's a soldier in the war that many went through at least 162 different schools. So he had trouble there, too. And so on. You could just sort of classify it down the line. You could say, who would grant beingness to textbooks, you see? Who would grant beingness to examinations? Who would grant beingness to mistakes? Who would grant beingness to... And you could just get anything under the heading of knowledge. But, of course, you subdivide knowledge, and you've got the rest of the scale anyhow, so you needn't hang around there too long. You hit it quick like that and go right in immediately with lookingness, you say. Now, you look at your preclear and you see him sitting there all squinted up and so forth, and you say, who would grant beingness to bad eyesight? That's his acceptance level. We use an acceptance level here with granting of beingness. Who would grant beingness to good eyesight? Think. Oh, there was a fellow wrote a book once that said, perfect sight without baits. And, he'd grant beingness to good eyesight, but let me see now. Isn't he really granting beingness to bad eyesight? Now, I don't know about this. Well, get him out of that and into a little more certainty. Well, who'd grant beingness to blindness? My mother, she just never would pass a blind man without dropping a nickel on the drummers at the Salvation Army. And that would be granting of beingness on the acceptance level of the pre-clear at the level of look. Who'd grant beingness to deafness? That would be another question. That's a shutoff. Who would grant beingness to silence? Don't forget that silence belongs up there with the battery of perception. And by the way, don't omit, if you're really racking it out, to do something about silence. If your pre-clear is sitting there with all things shut off, why, his beingness must be silence, mustn't it? And you'll find it'll turn up everywhere in his life. A wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that bird? That, I think, is as step one of Genesis. on deafness. It is a philosophy by which people cut each other's throats, try to knock people out of communication. You find your pre-clear's been up against that sort of thing pretty steadily. So a lot of people have been granting beingness to silence, haven't they? Well, that's right on the perception, then. Okay, who would grant beingness, then, to various emotions? Who would grant beingness to various kinds of play, of various kinds of work? Who would grant beingness to tiredness? Let's just start dropping out the bottom here. And now who would grant beingness to problems? Thinking, worrying, anxiety, conservatism, being reasonable, talking in a reasonable fashion. And we've already started to skid, you see, in the symbols. Well, who'd grant beingness to grammatical English, to ungrammatical English, to books, to cheap literature? And let's not forget one. What is the basic symbol? Mass meaning motion. Symbol is mass meaning motion. Let's not omit, please, let's not omit pictures. Whatever else you hit, remember, pictures. Pictures. Engrams. Wrong's right there at symbols. Who would grant beingness to pictures? Now you think of motion pictures and television and this a picture and that a picture, and it finally gets borne in on them that you're talking about them pictures that keep staring them in the eyes all night. Those pictures. Engrams, facsimiles, and that goes downscale to delusion, right in the same band of symbols. Delusory pictures, delusory views. Real cute, that one. Because 90% of the pre-clears you process, if you're using procedure 30 on them, are having difficulty with, in the granting of beingness, mock-ups. And they're doing all of their granting of beingness, even if they're black cases, in getting mock-ups to perform and people to find things in a mock-up form and so forth. Where are they? Where are they operating? There must be somebody, someplace, somewhere that granted a lot of beingness to pictures. And it might even be that they might come up with Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, granting beingness to mental pictures. You see, just mentioning it causes people practically to pass out. All right. Now, rang a bell. You see that? You'd have to grant beingness to their existence before you would do something about them. Of course, the funny part of it is that you're working on a prior consideration of what age and distance is of considerable effect. Yes, you can process these things, and you can rub them out and stir them up and do other things with them and materially change a preclear. Well, doggone it, if you can materially change the existence of a preclear by doing something about his facsimiles and engrams, we know this is the case. By experiment, by a long and arduous experiment. We know this to be the case. Well, who the hell granted beingness to these pictures in the first place? Well, you'll possibly find Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, as a lock on a long chain of such considerations. We're liable to find kindergarten pictures and other kinds of pictures and pictures and pictures and masses of energy and pictures and delusory pictures and hallucination. He sees men standing around him, you know. That sort of thing. I mean, the guy is aware of somebody in his life who had delusions occur to him. Or somebody who got delirious and in the depths of sickness was fighting off flaming dragons that tried to move in on him. Or in DTs, had various deliriums and so forth. And this is all a confirmation of delusory pictures. And locks of this character go pouring off in the band of symbols. And there's where those pictures belong. Of course, those pictures can only be effective upon the preclear if the preclear is already below the level of effort. Most everybody is. There's no disgrace in this. But the pictures are effective against him, you see, only if he has already said he didn't want any responsibility for effort particles. So, of course, he falls into the symbol band. So, who would grant beingness, who would give life to imaginary pictures, you could say, to the preclear, or pictures, or delusions, or hallucinations? Any one of these things, and you're liable to find a member of his family. You're liable to find some curious and interesting lore in the preclear, right there with that question. And then we could go into this. Now, I don't want you to jump to any conclusions on this. This answer is very obscure. Who would grant beingness to eating? I'm sure the preclear would never under any circumstances select out his mother, cooks, restaurants, or anything like this. And I'm sure that his life isn't completely functional on the basis of where does he get enough money or put out enough work in order to eat. I'm sure that his economic orientation isn't primarily based on food and water. I'm just sure this is the case because nobody could get that crazy. Nobody. Nobody would rack up his whole time track on the basis of whether or not he could eat. A society which was doing that exclusively and so forth would, of course, be pretty nuts. So, if your preclear is sitting there completely normal, don't omit to ask that question. Who would grant beingness to eating? And don't forget, as we go off on the eating scale, we get down to the bottom of that scale, that's excretia. The body is under a covert activity, you see, of trying to make as next to nothing out of something as it possibly can. It takes in nicely grown and then caught and cooked and prepared food, you see, and turns it into excretia, which is trying to make nothing out of it. That's as close as it can get. That's a pretty wide shot, isn't it? All right, so we've got who would grant beingness to excretia? It's an interesting question. Your preclear will find some interesting answers, too. Now, we could go down to the bottom of the thing, and who'd grant beingness to sex in all of its shapes and form? You could recodify this. Who would grant beingness to women? Who would grant beingness to men? Who would grant beingness to pretty women and pretty men? Who would grant beingness to strong men? To babies, to infants, and so forth, to pornography, any place your preclear happened to sit. If he comes from Los Angeles area, you know where to hit him. But almost any place along the line. Now, who would grant beingness to? Now, if this person has any great upset about sex, who would grant beingness to rape as a social practice? So forth. You'll have to blow some interesting stuff out of this case. And now we go down to mystery. And who would grant beingness to mystery? Who would? Who would you let grant some beingness to mystery? Well, guys all over the place grant beingness to mystery. Well, we don't really have to translate that one very much for the preclear. It kind of falls right there. He sees churches and things like that as mysteries, unknowingness. And, however, let's retranslate it on the next level down. Ignorance. Who would grant beingness to stupidity? Ignorance, so forth. He'll find lots of candidates for that one. Lots of candidates. He'll find out every teacher he's ever had has validated his stupidity and kicked his brilliance in the medulla oblongata. And that's about the size of it. The school systems today validate stupidity. They only pay any attention to you when you're wrong. I mean, you can sit there all the time and never make a mistake, and you'd be all set. I mean, nobody ever paid attention to you. They wouldn't even know if you're in class. But you get wrong or unruly or something of the sort, and you're validated right there. They grant beingness to you. In fact, they're liable to lay a hand on you. All right. So much for this scale as we go down. How much further could you develop this? Well, you could probably develop it a long distance. Now, when we talked to DePreclear, we found out he was engaged in a present-time problem or past problem. You might ask him questions about, well, where do you want to get audited, something like that, or who was interested in auditing, or who was interested in psychotherapy, or who'd you know that had trouble with his mind, or you could ask him almost any question like that. He was liable to consider at that level of processing too overt on your part. You might have to be very cautious about this, but you could ask him such things, and you're liable to find such things as the fact that his father was a psychiatrist. Oh, brother, I mean, let's get a rough case. Who'd grant beingness to insanity? See? Insanity, delusion, hallucination, so forth. We're liable to find a former marital partner or somebody who was very vastly, deeply interested in this. Now, you people, by your existence and by your knowledge, are apparently granting beingness. You see, just apparently granting beingness to aberration. We get into the whole subject of what do you validate? That which you validate has a tendency to come true. All right? If you're interested, then, in aberration, you have a tendency to validate aberration, and this is why auditors occasionally complain about being restimulated. And so on. They're paying attention to the preclear because the preclear has to be bettered or improved. Well, in the absence of processes which solve this, it'd be an unsolvable problem. It'd be as much as your sanity was worth to move in on the field of psychotherapy if you didn't have an answer to it. Now, think of these poor guys in the psychoanalysis. Why, those guys could have been analyzed for 89 and a half years and 2 days. With just getting what? Getting mired deeper and deeper and deeper into that unfortunate level of the tone scale known as sex. And it's very condensed, and they would just keep validated, not only as a subject, but it's wrong, as a wrong subject, see? They say it's all wrong, and then validated. And you'd get a problem with the therapist, wouldn't you? So the funny part of it is, though, that your angle of attack on the case is you're validating getting better. You know, you're validating improvement. You're validating a higher state. What you're trying to pay attention to is a higher state. And that's what you're validating. So it's your concentration is not on how many aberrations can we find, but how good can we perform. As long as your attention is on that level, you're in excellent condition. Except for this. Now mark this down about some preclears. Who would grant beingness to getting better? And he first starts out and remembers this nurse that he was very fond of while he was in the hospital. And then he remembers this one, and he remembers that one. He kind of comes up with this and that and so forth, and all of a sudden, that's my father. Getting better. You had to be perfect. Yeah, who'd grant beingness to being perfect? See? Who? You're liable to come up then if you kind of clobber him with procedure 30 down to the end. You just clobber him with that one. Who validates getting better? Who would grant beingness to getting better? Who would grant beingness to a better condition? Anyway, you want to phrase it so it'll pop in with the preclear. He will come up with this. The problem which he didn't get when you ran the second step was the fact that he is obsessed on the subject of getting better, of being more perfect, and so forth. And how come he's obsessed there? Somebody drove him, and drove him hard, on this line, somewhere on the track. By doing what? By assuming that he was not better. Somebody had to assume he was not better before they could urge him to get better. So you're looking directly at the first agreement and assumption that he was ill, that he was bad off, that he was unable, that he was disabled, and so forth, when you ask him the question, who would grant beingness to being perfect, to getting better, and so forth. This fellow doesn't have the right to get worse. And as long as he doesn't have the right to get worse, he's going to get worse. Because he's trying to escape from the consideration that there is a condition known as worse. Which there isn't, of course. All by itself? No, there isn't a condition known as worse. It has to be worse than something, or it'd be intelligible. So the condition getting better, that he has to get better, get more perfect, has to mean than something. You know, he has to get better than. Than what? Well, somebody had to assume he was sick before they could tell him to get well. Well, there's the other little spot you're in as an auditor. You must have assumed that this guy was in bad shape in order to make him better. Supposing you were to sit there and assume he was in good shape. Well, this would drive him mad because it's above his acceptance level. He would not be able to accept that you accept that he's in good shape. If you want to really upset a prickler sometime, just sit there and insist that he is in excellent condition. And he's liable to practically blow his brains out after he's failed to blow yours. So the granting of beingness here could be run in many ways. It could be run this way. Who would it be safe to have grant beingness? Who would it be all right to have grant beingness to? And then take that person, you see, and just have that person grant beingness. You say, well, what else can they grant beingness to? Now, you're sure they can grant beingness to that. Now, what else can they grant beingness to? Something else, some more. You just hung him with this one person. After we'd run this for quite a little while, we might find that another person kept shining up there doing something of the sort. The probability is you hit basic on the chain for this life when he answered the first question. Who would it be all right to have grant some beingness to things? To give life to things, to talk to things, and so forth. Well, you may have hit basic on the chain right there. And these other things that show up are locks. Well, you could get them out of the road just to amuse the preclear. You would go back and sweep out this basic person. Now, on the granting of beingness, remember that we have the orientation point as a problem here. The orientation point, the geographical location which looks at everything. You must realize that there is a confusion in anybody's mind who thinks that a geographical location can look, and yet that is higher than having a symbol look for you. That's more basic than having a symbol look for you. That's a more native state to have a geographical area or point look for you. Because these people who are having symbols look for them are in pretty rugged shape. So somebody is liable to come up with people looking for them. Well, sooner or later, on the granting of beingness, you're going to find out that these people are all more or less connected with a certain geographical locale, which is itself the orientation point of the case. So you would get this. What would be safe for such and such a place, which you've just assumed out of the knowledge of your case, to grant beingness to? Must be a new problem for him. You found out that he talked about grandma, you see, and he talked about mother, and he talked about father, and he talked about Aunt Em, and he talked about this one, and he talked about that one. And you realized that he was talking about Keokuk, a mythical town which we keep using as an illustrative area. And we found out that he was really talking about Keokuk. All right, we're talking about the childhood home. Or are we talking about some area of this character? Habitat. And so, would not be out of order for you simply having spotted his habitat, viewpoint, orientation point, the point which is looking, to assume then he has already made the error that Keokuk looks. Now that's the basic mistake of a Thetan. Is that a geographical point messed objects can look. Therefore, he has explosions granting beingness, bright things granting beingness, suns granting beingness, any radiant object granting beingness, and he looks at mysteries as things which refuse to grant beingness. And this is the sum and total of his basic confusion where it comes to this universe. But he's not ready to run it just because it is. But you can look for it when it turns up and run it when it turns up. What would be safe to have Keokuk, Iowa, look at. Grant beingness to, give life to, and so forth. And he'll gradually say, well, so what? Doesn't mean anything to him. It just runs on out to a meaningless thing. You're now dealing with an area which is a strange area to him. Before this time, he was stuck in Keokuk and had been for Lord knows how long.
Okay. Now let's go into the actual use of Procedure 30 itself as a tool and discover that we would not always employ Procedure 30 on a case. And having employed it, that we would not exhaust each one of its steps before we went on to the next step, necessarily. But that we could run it in conjunction with other processes. We could run any one of its steps individually, or we could run them collectively. But because we are solving here three basic problems which confront the auditor so intimately and confront the case so closely that they bar auditing, let's then give it a bit of precedence and instruction. But in auditing itself, let's not use it, really, unless it seems very indicated. See? Unless it seems indicated. And that would be established by a two-way communication with the preclear and some ability on his part to communicate with himself and so communicate to you. And let's establish this with Procedure 30. And reestablish it when it goes by the boards with this. Now, there's certain other things that you could do along the line here. Let's not forget, recall something which is real to you as a very interesting mechanism there to get somebody into communication. But let's recognize that Procedure 30 could be used over and over in this fashion. You could give a fellow a couple of hours of opening procedure by duplication, which is the first part. And you give him a couple of hours with that, and he just got kind of fair at it. You established some line. He was no longer blowing the session, you might say. He was no longer getting up and rushing out, and he was no longer damning you. And it took us a couple of hours to get up to that point. Having gotten up to that point, let's give him a breather. And let's run its second section, which is problems. And having run its second section, problems, so that he has some adequate understanding of what he is doing, let's go into the granting of beingness and give him some understanding on that line. And having done so without entirely exhausting the subject in any case, let's see how he is now with opening procedure by duplication. Let's see how he works now. You'll find out he works better. He works quite a bit better, matter of fact. And he may come in there and after a half an hour or something like that, why, you realize very, very adequately that this boy has got all wheels on the rails now. But just because he does have, let's not omit to go back through problems and granting of beingness again. In other words, let's do it over and over. Now, supposing your case had some environmental occurrence during his auditing before he was up to any point where he was stable, which gave him a bad flip, real bad flip somewhere. And he came into you and he was pretty bad. Well, there's one way to remedy this, is next to the last list, you see. Just get his mind off of what he's worried about, his present time problem. Not worry about this present time problem too much. Let's just get him remembering something real. Now, let's suppose, though, he had his fight with a particular person or was having his upset about this particular person. What would happen if you intimately addressed the next to the last list of self-analysis with remember something real about so-and-so, such-and-such? Possible, but a little bit touchy. Well, now, supposing we didn't consult his memory at all, we just threw him into opening procedure 8C. And then slid him in immediately into opening procedure by duplication. And then went to problems. We find that present time problem turning up, but you've already taken
a large jar out of it there with the opening procedure by duplication we go into. This is problems in general. We would reestablish his recognition of what he is really doing with problems and why he has to have problems and why he doesn't want problems and so forth. And we get that out of the road and we go into granting of beings. We probably find out we were dealing, if he was really fixated on a present time problem, with the personnel involved with this situation. And having cleared that out of the way somewhat, we would be ready to swing again on whatever we had been doing before, carrying out our auditing program. In other words, you could take Procedure 30 and throw it in to any program anywhere that your two-way communication broke down with the Prikla. What's your test, then? It'd be a breakdown of the individual's ability to follow orders. An individual's ability to carry through what you were doing. An involvement of the individual with a flock of ridges or something like that. Now, I would throw opening procedure by duplication, and at least that, and certainly myself, the rest of 30, had a case that came in and told me, well, I exteriorized very well, and I was doing just fine, but I ran into this ridge sort of thing, and it worries me and sort of blew up, and boy, do I feel apathetic. I just cut loose with Procedure 30 on him, you know. He went out of the session, he's in pretty good shape, and now something has happened. He said, last night, I did back out of my body, and so forth, and then I got stuck on the wall or something of the sort. I don't feel well this morning at all. Throw Procedure 30 at him. How long would you have to throw it at him? Well, if you'd ever done it once very exhaustedly and really established his ability to do this, the funny part of it is that you wouldn't have to work it very long in any one of its steps. 15 minutes of opening procedure by duplication might very well suffice. Another 5-10 minutes on problems. Another 10-15 minutes on your granting of beingness, and your pre-clear is liable to be in pretty good shape right about that time. He'll either be in good shape, or you didn't spot how bad off he was. See, one thing or the other, you ran it too briefly. You just go back and run it again. You could run it through then from its first part, second part, third part, first part, second part, third part, first part, second part, third part, first part, second, third part, and you got it. You could do this. But not because you yourself were unwilling to duplicate any longer as an auditor, but just because you figured the pre-cleared had enough of that, used two-way communication. You'll find out that they come up tone scale on opening procedure by duplication, and they do come up through their tone bands. If the body is the difficulty, particularly, you find this manifestation. The body is the difficulty if somebody hasn't exteriorized. He must be terrifically concentrated on bodies. If he hasn't exteriorized, he's also very concentrated on problems. And if he hasn't exteriorized, he's very concentrated on the granting of beingness, and that's his ridges. We've got all these problems, so let's run the thing adequately. And if we haven't, we figure, done it so that we've got our boy in good shape, well, let's do it again. And he will only consider it sadistic, which is quite amusing about this process, as long as he needs the process.
And then he can tell you, well, I heard Hubbard say something about that, and I realize that you're just giving this in order to be sadistic about the whole thing, and that is really the total purpose of this process, and so forth and so forth and so forth.
Now, you'll find that opening procedure by duplication, as I told you earlier, will slump. The guy will do all right during the session. He'll do all right the next day and for the next couple of days, maybe. And then you'll see him do a little skid. He doesn't skid as far. And so you're liable to do, now watch this, you're liable to do a procedure 30 on him very nicely. Got in good shape. You audited him up the line. You got him exteriorized. He was in pretty good condition, as far as you were concerned, but you didn't have his perception turned on. You didn't have a lot of ridges solved, and you didn't have a lot of things solved on this case. But, you know, he was getting right along, and now you don't audit him for a couple of days, and he comes back, and he's kind of out of communication.
Well, you shouldn't at that moment assume that you have ruined him. You should assume that he cannot be worked where you left off because he has kind of settled out on his ability to duplicate. You see this? You're liable to get a little slump. Now, you just do some more of it, and it'll stick. It'll be a little bit better. But you actually might find yourself in a position where you had to do some more of it before you could even begin to audit him. You're liable to make a mistake on this. It's very possible that you would make a mistake on this. You've got a guy who's in pretty good shape. He's doing all right. He's sailing very nicely, and he's free. And you audit him for a couple of days, and he's coming up the line. He's coming up the line. All of a sudden, he kind of goes a little bit out of communication with you as an auditor again. Please recognize what has happened. You didn't run it all out when you were doing it, and what there is to run out and the reluctances to duplicate and so forth have shown up again. Here they are. Funny part of it is they go out rather rapidly when you run it again, but don't neglect to run it again. So, well, how often and when do you use Procedure 30? Established by, am I in a two-way communication with this pre-clear? Or, as he's auditing, does he seem to be auditing something else, or is he pushing something else around, or is he out of communication with his own bank? There's something disconnected around here so badly that I am not able to make such things as viewpoint straight wire, 8C, advanced course procedure function with this fellow. See, there's something so out of kilter around here that... so unstrung that I can't just trot right in there and make this guy sail right on upscale. We got Procedure 30 as a remedy of the situation. I don't say it's the only remedy there is. As a matter of fact, I remedied a case one day. I found him auditing something else. They quite often do this, you see. They're sitting there, and you're auditing them, but they're relaying the command to do something else to something else. And... I've had a case just overtly start auditing something else. Have him give opening procedure to whatever he was auditing. I've made him give six steps to better beingness to a ridge, which was sitting across his nose, which he evidently was auditing. And just make him do it, you see. What he's got, there's sort of a built-in auditing machine that's going off automatic, and he's short-circuiting your commands into the ridge. So I've made him just work away with this ridge. And this is a real good trick. When you see a pre-clear... obviously sitting back as a spectator to his own case. And if he's telling you nothing's happening, you haven't an auditing machine. That's too modern a type of machine. You have a result or remedy machine going. You have some sort of a healing machine, freewheeling away, which you're auditing via the pre-clear. But the guy you want to audit's the pre-clear. I keep pointing this out to you. So if he's just sort of sitting back as a spectator and he doesn't quite know what's going to occur to his case, and if he ever makes the horrible blunder in your hearing, this is not a blunder, it's a blunder on his part if he's being a good problem. He just gave away the whole thing. If he ever says anything like, "It says..." or "I get," you're auditing a guy who was auditing something. That's the real cute little mechanism here. You know, I get that. I don't know. I get that I was I was 4 or 5 there before I really had any cognizance of that. And it's kind of like an "it says here" manifestation. And that's what you suspect is happening. He's auditing something and watching the results on it. Well, he's being cause to effect to that degree, but he's sitting there as a spectator relaying the auditing command onto some other kind of a mass, and this mass is behaving in some peculiar fashion, and you've got it. Now, what's your answer to this? This person, by the way, at the same time will self-audit. He doesn't back out back the body and patch it up when it goes wrong. That's not self-audit, and that comes under the heading of construction and repair by Thetans. He's chewing up energy concepts or so forth and rattling them back and forth between a couple of machines, and one machine caves in the other machine and goes back and forth and goes into this ridge and on the back of that ridge. And he's sitting there watching all this going on. That's a self-auditing mechanism in full swing, and it's usually, unbeknownst to the pre-clear, running automatically. Fellow thinks he's sitting there self-auditing. He's not. He's got a machine running, and he's just watching it. And he'll watch the effects of this machine, and he'll do other things with this machine. It's very interesting. And while it's a lot of fun, and while if he had the next 50 or 60 years to spend on this, it'd probably do a lot of good, remember, he is validating this auditing machine all the time. So he comes into session, and you start to audit him, and the auditing machine goes to work, and he sits back and he watches this go, and he just relay the command in. You understand it? Relay it in. How easy it is. I mean, it's so simple, there's nothing to it. No change, no change, no change, nothing happening, nothing happening, nothing happening. That's what he normally tells you, nothing happening. This is your nothing happening case. Then is the time for you to reach into your hip pocket and bring out a blackjack known as Procedure 30. Them's the time. Why? Opening procedure in... by duplication? Will that knock out one of these odd machines? It'll certainly dull its edge. Running problems? Will that knock out one? Well, of course, this is basically a problem he has set up to be solved, and he would be lost without his problem, he thinks. So that both kind of takes care of this self-auditing or auditing something else while you're auditing him manifestation. But what does take it out? Granting of beingness. Now, I have just noticed, as a sort of an aside, that running granting of beingness, as it's done in Procedure 30, leaves the fellow with no self-auditing compulsions or obsessions. And that's run just as simply as this. Who would it be safe to have grant some beingness? To what? You know, just simple. And he gets this, and he gets that, and he gets something else, and he gets this one, less certainty, and then he gets one with a great deal of certainty, and then more certainty and certainty, and gets along fine, and so forth. It's very cute. This has happened now to two cases, one after the other. So it's a series of two, which isn't too bad. But just by its own technology, it should do this. Because, of course, this thing is ridges, and granting of beingness is what handles ridges. What do we get out of all this after we get through this? You ask the fellow, have you been self-auditing lately? And he was doing this before, you see. No, I'd forgotten about it. My omission. And he's liable to start it up sort of half-heartedly for 5 minutes or so and skip it. Because the granting of beingness is that activity which brings into existence machines as well as ridges. No machine or automaticity is going to work for you at all, ever. Unless some beingness has been granted to it. Now, you granted beingness to it originally, and then somebody else came along and granted beingness to it, and it's a kind of an overpowering affair by this time. And a lot of beingness has been granted to it. But get this, no automaticities will work unless granting of beingness has occurred. Now you're at the fundamental of machine processing when you're at granting of beingness. That is the fundamental. The guy sets a machine up out there, and he grants some life to it so it'll go on and function. I don't care what shape he mocked it up in, that's actually what he's doing. He put a postulate out there, and he granted some beingness to this postulate and went on and worked. So how does he get this machine into a compulsive activity, obsessive compulsive activity, after he's granted beingness to it? He worked with it perfectly fine many years ago. It worked for him perfectly fine. There's nothing been wrong with it. And then he had a lot of experiences which taught him that he must not permit anything else to grant any beingness any place. In other words, he took away and stepped out of any beingness granting. And anything that happened to be running at that time, he tried to suppress or stop running, which of course would increase its activity. And there you get compulsion and obsession. The individual has already granted some beingness to something, and now he stops granting beingness. He stops being willing to let something else grant any beingness. So, of course, he stops any such thing as one of his own machines. It's obviously granting beingness one way or the other. Ran into a preacher one time, long time ago, many months ago, who had a flattery machine. He didn't have enough praise in life, so he'd evidently set up a machine which praised him. And it praised him all the time. And this machine got to where it was giving him Roman epics on the subject of praise. And running a little bit of Raw and the Don Child and other things on him and so on. It was a very heroically oratorical machine. And he'd get the most blessed look over his face as this machine would run and so on. By the way, it was not an aberrative machine. It was just a cute gimmick that I happened to find. It wasn't doing anything to the fellow. Nobody ever said he'd done a good job, so he rigged up a machine to tell him. Well, now, supposing this unfortunate thing had occurred to this preacher, supposing this horrible thing had occurred to this preacher, that he had run into somebody who'd said, "Oh, you great, big, handsome brute of a man, you..." You know, Southern girl. And gotten all buttered up, and then cut his throat and run off with his best friend and stripped the bank account down, standard marital relations, 1954. What a horrible thing. In the first place, she was sort of granting beingness to this machine. He'd get this recrossing. She's now sort of supplanting the machine, but he doesn't knock the machine out. She grants beingness to it, too. She's agreeing with the machine, so the machine plus her is a reality. A unit reality. She and the machine are in agreement that he's a great guy. For a long time. And then, by golly, she starts granting beingness to another man, to another situation, and another environment, and his total thought on the matter is crusher, squasher, stopper. And he crushes, squashes, stops. Nothing. He tries. But any time he puts that kind of a smasher on granting of beingness, he gets kickbacks. Now, he won't just get a kickback from the girl. He'll get a kickback from his friends. They get so tired of hearing him talk about his marital troubles with this woman, they start leaving him alone. His life is too much of a burden for him. It's evidently gotten to be too much of a burden for somebody else. And then one day, very mysteriously, a voice comes up and says, "Oh, ye who rise in the morning, let thy light shine across the city and make all well and peaceful and beautiful." See? You are the greatest guy on earth. Oh, boy. Only this thing turns on, and he doesn't own it anymore because he won't own any flattery of any kind, and he's even forgotten he shut it off. I mean, he's forgotten it completely this time. It really squashed the forgetter in. Squashed the activity of the machine in. It made everything very real and very set. And he's liable to come around to you telling you, "I have these mysterious voices." Now you ask him, wouldn't you mind granting some beingness to the world, to life, so forth? And just who wouldn't you mind? Well, let's see. Dear, let me see. How do you mean this? Wouldn't you mind giving life, imbuing statues with life, bringing to life people who are dead and so forth? And he'd say, "Well, of course, you're talking about Christ now. Let's see." "No, I don't know. I don't quite like Christ doing that." "Now, let's see now. Must be somebody, someplace. I wouldn't object to it. I'm a nice guy. I mean, other people live and let live, I always say, apathetically. Let's see now. It must be somebody. Oh, yes. Aunt Floozy. Yeah, dear old Aunt Floozy. Yeah, that's all right for her to grant some beingness. Well, now, what do you want her to grant some beingness to? What would be all right for her to grant some life to? Oh, I don't know. Let's see, she had a pin once. That's not right. Let's see, she had some kind of a... She had some old shoes one time that she threw away. I wouldn't mind her granting beingness to that. Okay, what's something else? He gives you something else. You sure of that? Something else. You sure of that? All right, she wants... That's okay. Something else. You sure of that? Now, you're loosening him up on the subject, see, of granting beingness. And the voices stop. Have they got any real connection with Aunt Floozy? No. Did Aunt Floozy praise him? No, probably not. Has no consideration connection that you can possibly detect beyond this one, granting of beingness. He granted beingness to the machine, and when he refuses to grant beingness
to other things to have them grant beingness anymore. In other words, refuses to grant the beingness of having something else grant the beingness. Believe me, that machine went into operation automatically and autonomously and out of his control and now has the power to victimize him. So such machines as hidden voices, angry machines, various other objectionable automaticities, as far as the individual could tell, are liable to shut off on this process. Now, I gave you in the earlier half hour here a process of where apply the note of sex scale. Whom don't you mind knowing something or something like that, then creeping in immediately on who would grant some life to schools, books. He says, you're not serious about that, are you? Teachers and parents and so forth, and you start to get this kind of reaction. Well, you could handle it that way, too, and you get the same reaction when you got out a long life. Now, actually, there's the ungranting of beingness, which is an actual activity. But the way you ungrant beingness is to unmock. You just have to unmock the whole works. Unless you're operating on something on a no-time basis, which is to say a mock-up, exclusively, which has no resistance to all effects in it. Now, if you put this mock-up up with the inevitable postulate in it, it must resist all effects, and now you try to ungrant the beingness to it, you know, saying we will grant no further beingness to that mock-up, without just unmocking the whole thing, what happens? Of course, it goes into action. Because you're the guy that made it go into action. You see, it's your mock-up. It had resistance to all effects as an essential part of it. Machinery has in it these three postulates. Must resist all effects is one of them. Whatever it must do, the function of the machine itself, postulate. Plus, now I've forgotten about it. See? What the machine must do, that it must resist all effects, and the preclear sets these up, including mine, only he never says that, so it's not hanging there in the machine. It must resist all effects, and the last consideration on the line is that it is now forgotten about, usually hidden and forgotten. I must now forget it, and I do, you see. That's the procedure which he employs in setting up machinery. Now, having done this, he doesn't unmock it. He simply says, I will give it no further life. It's dangerous. It exists. It's harmful. It's been doing me in, and therefore I'm not going to give it any further life of any kind whatsoever. Well, he just tipped his hat to it and invited it to become completely autonomous, just as though it were another life, just as though it were actually alive. And it, of course, now has to consider him its enemy. It has that degree of sentience. It turns around to whatever pulled away from it. So you can ungrant beingness by unmocking. Well, the way you get up to a point where the preclear can unmock whatever he's granting beingness to, and so forth, is getting to be completely comfortable about granting beingness in general. And when he's completely comfortable about that, then he can unmock. But he blocks himself from unmocking as long as he's considering a lot of things, such as the messed universe, his enemy. Why can't people unmock things easily? Well, it's just that they consider so many things their enemy. Now, these are some of the manifestations you'll meet in the preclear, and which will blow up on the running of Procedure 30. Self-auditing, voices, automaticities, auditing machines, reversal machines, direction reversal machines, and so on. A lot of these things will blow just on auditing this through. So it has many uses, but its primary use, of course, is when the preclear is, one, not really in a two-way communication with you, the auditor, and two, when he is not in any kind of real communication with what he's trying to do. He's on shunt circuits or something of the sort. But then he's really not in good communication with you as an auditor if he's doing that. So it solves itself. Now, this does not include the neurotic, psychotic band. The next to the last list, self-analysis, will solve a neurotic case up to a point where it can be audited with something else. And mimicry is often required to resolve the psychotic band where you can't get any communication at all. There are tricks of getting people into communication which have nothing to do with Procedure 30, but they're below that band. Procedure 30 merely talks about the tough case, which gets easy and gets tough again, which doesn't change, which doesn't do this. Procedure 30 is what you use on such a case, okay?